HRNradio.com, where positive people and podcasts unite.
Good morning. You're listening to Guiding Stars Evolutionary Astrology Radio. This is your host, Kristen Fontana. Guiding Stars is an interactive soul-centered astrology talk show using the symbolic language of evolutionary astrology to enlighten and empower you on this journey. If you've missed any prior broadcasts, we do have an archive here at Healthy Life. And the archive button is right next to the Listen Live button that you clicked on to hear this show. You can download free podcasts from the past, but they don't stay there forever. So if there's something that you missed and you want to get a hold of, make sure you check into that archive relatively soon following the show, and you'll be able to grab a hold of that show you missed. Also, if you have any comments or suggestions, we do want to know about it. You can email me through my website at kristenfontana.com. Before we get started, I wanted you to know, if you're a new listener, that we do have a website available for you to learn more about evolutionary astrology. The website is schoolofevolutionaryastrology.com. And within the site, we do have a wonderful learning forum where you can participate in ongoing practice threads and post questions on EA and connect with other studying and practicing evolutionary astrologers. We currently have a thread going on the transiting nodes as they just shifted signs. The South Node in Aries and North Node in Libra shifted to South Node in Pisces and South Node in Virgo. We're discussing the personal and collective impacts of this transition. So if you're interested, check it out on the message board, or you can jump in and participate as well. If you're interested in becoming a more serious student, we do have a correspondence course available, which is a series of DVDs that allows you to become certified in evolutionary astrology. And there's more information on the website about that. It is the original course taught by Jeff Green, the founder of EA, and a series of 30 DVDs. Also, two new books out in EA, Structure of the Soul, a chapter looking at planetary nodes and the nodes of Pluto, as well as the Pluto paradigm, this trinity of energy, this focus, defining the structure of the soul, and it's just been released. And also a new book on Lilith, Keepers of the Flame, also available there. It is not an astrological book per se, but it lays down a solid framework for this archetype and supports the symbol that we know so well, Lilith, in the chart. So check out those books on the site or on Amazon if you haven't already. Now, every last Wednesday of the month, I am so thrilled to join my partner, my partner in crime here in the astrological trends coming, Rose Marcus. She's a wonderful columnist and author and teacher of EA from Vancouver, Canada. I'd like to welcome her back to Guiding Stars. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Anything going on that you'd like to share as well?
Well, actually, no, just kind of carrying on here. So nothing in the pipeline right at the moment, but soon.
Okay.
Well,
we are, as I mentioned briefly, we do a transit show looking at the next month of energy for all of us to allow ourselves to be a little more prepared. And I love your take on it, Rose, is always all ears. And
I just want to say one thing, because since you and I were last on, well, actually, last month I was on with Deva, but, you know, it's been a very eventful November, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I just wanted to mention, I'm sure that most students of astrology out there have looked at the November 13th Paris attack chart.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been discussed on many different places. But I just wanted to mention that also, too, because our evolutionary astrology, working with the planetary nodes, right? And for that transit chart, to remember that the planetary nodes are slow movers, you know, so they're pretty stationed at wherever they are. The south node of Uranus is 12, almost 13 of Sagittarius at this point, and the north node at 15, Gemini. The transiting moon for the Paris attack chart was at 15 Sagittarius. So whenever we have the planetary nodes of Uranus being transited, everything gets punched up, right? And so just to know that that also makes sense for that very dynamic chart and that very dynamic event. And today is also to November 25th. We're the last Wednesday of every month, and this is our last Wednesday, and we're on a full moon, right? And that full moon is in Gemini. And it is also crossing over the planetary nodes of Uranus. So if you're feeling that kind of intensity, yesterday we had Mercury conjunct Saturn and Mercury square Neptune. And tomorrow on the Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving, we have the first of three planetary alignments between Saturn and Neptune. This very, very potent period of time. And if you're feeling that kind of intensity, like I am, then know that it's quite a bunched up cycle right here with all those transits.
Can you restate that last one you said?
I'm not sure which last.
On the Saturn, it was.
Yeah, tomorrow on Thanksgiving, November 26th, American Thanksgiving. It's not Thanksgiving for us here in Canada. Saturn squares Neptune. And this will happen Pacific time. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, but this is a transit that is already operative. You know, it's already it's already been in effect. And the Saturn square Neptune transit will carry on for the duration of this year. We will have three exact alignments of that, and the next one is June 17, 2016, and then we have our final one on September 10th of 2016. Tomorrow's transit takes place at 7 degrees. Saturn's at 7 degrees Sagittarius. Neptune is at 7 degrees of Pisces. And yesterday, setting up for the full moon, Mercury and Saturn conjoined. Now, the transits of Mercury and Neptune are watched because, of course, as you mentioned a little bit earlier, they are the rulers of the transiting north and south nodes, the karmic axis. So everything that Mercury's transit right now is particularly potent. Neptune, as I've said in previous radio shows, is already at its heightened potency. Why? Because it's in its own sign. So it's already, it's already picked up a lot of steam. But just as of the middle of the month here, the karmic axis switching gears, we have the south node in Pisces. We have Neptune in Pisces. That's a very, very potent transit. And the other thing that's punching up the karmic axis, the north node in Virgo, is the fact that we also have transiting transiting Jupiter in the sign of Virgo as well, too. So wherever Jupiter goes, it's going to expand the scope. It's in the sign of Virgo. We have Mercury in mutual reception right now with Jupiter. Mercury's in the sign of Sagittarius. That's Jupiter's sign. Jupiter's in Virgo. Mercury sign, right? You know, so we've got quite a lot going on with the intensity. And again, with the Saturn influence here, Saturn and Mercury, you know, whatever is taking place for you right now falls into a very serious category, wouldn't you say? You know, Saturn deals with our priorities, our karmic priorities, you know, and Saturn in the sign of Sagittarius. As most listening out there would know, that's a 2.5-year transit. It Saturn moved into Sagittarius at the end of September. It was there last year from December through until June when it backed into Scorpio a little bit. You know, so we've already had a little taster of it. But Saturn is now on the move and doing its thing. So when we have Saturn in the sign of Sagittarius, Sagittarius is an archetype that that is about our conceptual frame of reference, our beliefs, our envisioning, and Saturn references the future. When we have Saturn in Sagittarius, the future is crystallizing in some very dynamic way. Whenever we have a square aspect between major planetary influences as we have right now between Saturn and Neptune, we have an acceleration timetable going on for us in terms of this crystallization of a direction forward, Saturn crystallizing the future for us. Well, it's referenced by this Neptune transit, by the square to that. Saturn in Sagittarius relative to Neptune in Pisces, that is a last quarter square, right? Mm-hmm. Saturn and Neptune itself is a 35-36 year cycle. I have to look at my notes now to when that cycle began back there in the late 1989 was the first conjunction of that. So those are born around that period of time or reaching the halfway mark of this transit, not a halfway mark, but a third quarter mark. This cycle, in the larger picture of the cycle, Saturn and Neptune hit its first square between about 98 through 99. The opposition occurred at 2005 to 2008. That was the halfway mark. This next square, the last quarter square, is taking place right now over. It's been building up for a little while here. So you can see how this, all of this intensity is happening. In terms of that crystallization of a future course, well, it's almost seemingly contradictive because Neptune's in Pisces, and what does Neptune in Pisces do? It dissolves, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Saturn is about the boundaries of consciousness. It's the borders and so forth. When you have Saturn and Neptune in this square, you know, this is what we call the coin phrase that Dane Rudyard used for this crisis in consciousness. Saturn is an archetype that is suggesting, these two transits are suggesting that whatever has been locked away within the consciousness, that which has been buried or suppressed or so on is now being unleashed. When you have anything that has been distorted through Saturn and it is unleashed, it is unleashed at, a fairly extreme level, let's put it that way. Neptune has no boundaries, right?
Right.
Between these two aspects here, when it is unleashed, it can go the distance and beyond Saturn-Neptune suggestion of no control around the way the future course is shaping up. Neptune itself is an archetype of what's latent. It's the potentials. It's everything that has been brewing. And when we have Saturn, we have time frames, time spans, time tables. And the suggestion is here with these two items here is that something is being uncovered, revealed, released, unleashed, and when it does, it's like a dam bursting, and how the water goes. If the water has nothing to contain itself, it will move until it runs its course, right? Until it finds a barrier or a reef to define it or contain it. So this is a pretty interesting time frame, and Pisces, Neptune in Pisces also rules mass and mass consciousness, and certainly events like the Paris attacks, it pulls all of the focus into something singular, right? As a demonstration of that. I was talking to a colleague, and I was saying that, the world has focused in on Paris, but, why not, Beirut or so on? And it's this thought that, wherever the unexpected is going to gain more attention, right? When these things are more personalized, when they're more relative to you, you feel them at a more intense level, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. So we have a lot going on right here, and Mercury is conjunct Saturn. It's just surpassed. So if there has been some awakening of some circumstance or some something that is happening to you, occurring to you, Mercury is, you know, it's always a neutral sign, but when it's hooked up in this way, you know, it's a key event, a key circumstance, a key concept, you know, and so forth. When you have Saturn in Sagittarius relative to Neptune in Pisces, rationalizations can be blurred. The distinction over what is real and what is illusionary can be blurred. You know, we have our ideals, that's Neptune, and Sagittarius is an archetype that takes one thing and exaggerates it to an extreme, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if we're working with distorted Saturn, then we may have rationalizations that make absolutely no sense, but that are wild, unleashed at a wild level, right? You know, mm-hmm. Last night I was just looking on the internet, and there were two earthquakes, one right after the other in Peru. They took place in a place that wasn't populated, so we're good about that. But it just shows what kind of intensity all that energy is bringing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you may be completely focused in on this one thing, and that one thing may be something that is very precious to you, that is of great worth, of great value to you. And it may be with a Saturn Neptune completely out of reach.
Mm-hmm.
I think about this Saturn Neptune transit is really very, very, very descriptive, and it is a year-long transit. The plight of the refugees is so very descriptive of this transit. Saturn and Neptune, we're trying to chase down something that we may have already lost.
Mm-hmm.
And certainly, that's something to think about in terms of doing that. You can put into action anything you like, but if it is beyond you, it is beyond you.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. Another thing that this Saturn-Neptune is a growing awareness of what has been lost. And I say that the past must stay where it is. And our only hope is the future, right? So we have to deal with the today reality,
It's interesting, because Saturn squaring Neptune it can be so much about avoiding what you need to deal with head on, or just as you said, making rationalizations. That's the Mercury conjunct the Saturn square that Neptune, and all the reasons why you can't do something or can't go there, or can't deal with the tough stuff, and yet the square forces you to. It forces you to see something so clearly that you really have no choice but to. And so that's also part of it as well. And, at the end of the day, it's like, I remember a friend of mine saying once, what else is there to do but the work, the real work, the soul work, get on with it. Stop wasting time. Stop marking time, I should say.
Absolutely, and Saturn is the archetype of time itself, and
mm-hmm.
And this idea of time running out, that idea of no choice is very interesting, because Saturn and Neptune is in transit corresponds to oil, and we've had in Canada, the Keystone Pipeline has been rejected by the U.S. And it sent the province of Alberta into a bit of a tailspin. Because this is their industry, right?
Right.
That's industry Saturn, Saturn square Neptune. This is the whole idea here. Well, I can't tell you, it's been really a bane for Canadian politics, and, it's caused problems economically and, all this kind of stuff. But the Albertans have just really changed their tune very, very quickly. and, you know, they're now on to trying to find better solutions and they don't want to be the pariah on the world stage in terms of, you know, the dirty oil and, you know, all this kind of stuff. So it's interesting. Climate change, is Saturn, Neptune is again one of these things that, you know, we can't bury our head in the sands regarding this anymore. And we've had opportunity for a length of time to actually do something about it. But, you know, there's a climate change conference that went on, that's going on this week. I think it's tomorrow, or this week sometime. And now it's being taken seriously because we have no choice but to look at the future and to figure out what can be done, not to have the denial piece going any longer.
Oh, exactly, the perfect example.
Yeah.
All right, well, we need to move to a break. We'll be right back with Rose Marcus.
The Bright Side of Talk, HealthyLife.net.
All right, we are back. I'm here with Rose Marcus, and we're discussing the transits for the next month. So
Saturn, Neptune are at 7 degrees, and the other two alignments in June and September are about 10 and 12, I think they are. So if you have anything in the middle range of the mutable signs, as Gemini, Virgo, Sagittarius, or Pisces, then this is going to be a particularly dynamic transit for you. And the thing with Saturn and Neptune is really how do you cope with loss? How do you make sense out of something that is unfathomable? How do you sort out fact from fiction? How do you sort out what's a real potential and what is illusionary? How do you proceed when you can't see or don't know what to do next?
Mm-hmm.
Right? This is quite a major transit if you have that going on for you. And I always say that the best you can do is to address the immediacy of the moment. And something small can prove to be of major impact, right? Or major effectiveness. So I think you said it earlier too. Instead of looking at what is lost, what you can't do, what isn't working, what's beyond you to control or beyond you to cope with, what is the one thing, the little thing that you could do for yourself right here, right now?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And that's kind of the best that you can do. And maybe I've been talking a little bit negative. The plus side of that is that Saturn and Neptune are making real the potentials that are at their time is ripe red moment, right? You know, so this can open you up to something that is of ultimate benefit or of ultimate glory for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
So if there has been something that that you feel has been out of reach, but it's ripe and ready for its time has come moment, then it could be the it ticket that is going to bridge you over to the other side. Do you know?
mm-hmm.
I go back to the refugee thing. Like, I just think that, I cannot imagine. For me, it's unfathomable, you know, being a mother, you know, to watch the TV and to see these women with their babies in their arms or their crying children or so on, and to think how frightening and, you know, all of that must be right now. And you know, they're in this gap phase, you know. Over to the other side, you know, when they get relocated and so forth, you know, that there's a whole opportunity in front, you know. So this reality, this present reality may not feel so good.
Mm-hmm.
But I always say that to be aware of cycles, and cycles have beginnings, middles, and ends, right? You know, so this too shall pass, and once you're bridged over to the other side, everything is open for you. If you are in a place right now that is unworkable for you, or that has disappointed you, or you know you're in this state of disillusionment, you know, I would say that you know that will eventually recede from view, and what it will be replaced with will be something that is more aligned and more in keeping with what could be higher, truer, you know, and better.
Yeah, I mean, I actually feel as much as Neptune in this position, squaring the full moon, squaring Saturn, squaring Mercury, the ruler of the full moon, is definitely intensely powerful and painful in places. I also feel with Mars, the Mars transit where it is, being in Libra, trining the full moon today and making a sextile to Saturn and to Mercury, I mean, the will find a way, will.
Yes.
And there's tremendous energy within that signature, because it's, you know, the full moon in Gemini will give you options, and trining Mars, you'll have different ways to navigate, you know, for the most part, what you need to, and these are all things that are also rooted in what's real and what's true and what needs to happen. And so by not taking the circuitous route, and by, you know, directly dealing with whatever must be dealt with, there can be tremendous breakthroughs along these lines, and deep changes in relationships. In particular, we've got Mars and Venus both being in the sign of Libra. So I always look to Mars when there's a lot of chaos, there's a lot of things that are just going haywire. And if Mars is well positioned, and it is currently very well positioned, and it is actually also making an inconjunct, I realize, to Neptune, but it is being offset by some other angles, and so all is not lost is basically what it says. I mean, sure, you can wave the flag and give up and surrender, or you can, you know, jump in with both feet and take care of whatever is, you know, you need to. Sometimes, too, this is about pulling the wool over your eyes, in a sense. And I was reminded earlier today when I was looking at the transits of this song that, to me, is so perfect for this time. It's by Mindy Smith, and she wrote a song called Little Devil, and she says something like, "How'd the devil become so pretty?" Because she's talking about being deceived by someone who showed up in a certain way, didn't have horns or anything, you know. So it reminds me of this transit, of the transiting nodes in Pisces and in Virgo, and some of the transits of full moon that's occurring now, and you know, just what can be revealed at this time, and yet the clarity that comes with that is some potent medicine. So
yeah, and you know, I think the thing is, don't jump to conclusions. I would say that Saturn, especially when you're in depression, is arrogant, because it pre-assumes that there's only one way, you know,
right,
that this is going to be the result, you know, and so forth. And if you can suspend judgment, which is what this Saturn-Neptune is asking you to do, or suspend your rationalizations on why, you know, this isn't going to work, or you have to perpetuate this, or, you know, or what have yous, and just to allow, again, there's great opportunity, and you're right. Mars is in good shape right now. We have, I just heard the signal there, but we have a lot of moving forward in the first 2 weeks of December.
Oh, good. So much to look forward to. We're locked into this last week
of
November. I'm like, wait, the show's almost over. Oh, wow. This one lyric of the song, she says, I thought he'd have two big horns and look at me with big red eyes. Instead, he wore those baby blues and whispered promises and lies. Oh, you little devil, you got so pretty, you little fool. He pulls me in, he tears me down, he chews me up just to spit me out, and he holds me close like he's my best friend. When I open up, he steals everything. He's gone again.
Oh, jeez.
Is that not like
That's amazing. That's amazing.
Then he says, oh, how he loves to watch me fall. He doesn't know I've already lost it all. Wow. Well, anyway, we're not gonna let that happen to y'all. Find Mars and get moving. We'll be right back.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
All right, we are back. Here's Rose Marcus. We're looking at the transits for the next month, and things shift a little soon here, so I'll let you take.
Yeah, tomorrow's the American Thanksgiving, and I haven't seen anything about Thanksgiving, but I've seen a lot about Black Friday.
I know, right? It's funny.
The way it goes. And just by the end of the month there on Sunday the 29th here, Sun squares Neptune and Sun conjunct Saturn. So we may be on some kind of wrap-up. Certainly, I think for Americans that are traveling, that might be a, you know, just kind of a finish-off time frame. And then we were talking about Mercury, Mars, we're talking good shape. December 1st, we have Mercury trining Uranus and Moon trining Uranus, so the month starts at a pretty good level, I think. On the 4th, we have Venus on a quick trip through Scorpio, and that will be until the 29th of December. So, again, it's all money, and shopping, and going into debt over Christmas, and all those kinds of things. So there's a lot of action going. Mars continues in the sign of Libra through the beginning of January. So, you know, Mars and Libra, you know, it's bringing up the whole idea of diplomacy and alliances on the global scale there, and there's a lot going on, out there regarding the Syrian crises and Putin coming on board with the West and, you know, all those kinds of things. So we're seeing a lot of action going on there. As we move forward into the second week of December, we've got on the 6th, we've got Mars square Pluto, and on the 10th of December, the day before the new moon, which is the 11th, we have Mars opposing Uranus. So I think that week is going to be really busy. On the 8th, we have Sun trine Uranus. So we've got the week starts with Mars square Pluto, basically finishes with Mars opposition Uranus. So that's kind of an intensity week.
So what day is that?
The 10th. So I would expect that week will be quite busy for commerce and for Christmas parties and for just general getting around, and that'll be the real that 6th through the week of the 6th, and then of course the week of the 20th right before Christmas. I think that's, you know, when all the action happens during that week, but we certainly will see some corner turns from the 6th to the 10th.
Well, what do you mean by that, like corner turns in what way?
Well, I think the energy will shift, you know, so, you know, we'll shift our attention onto things. The 7th, Hanukkah begins. It's interesting, Hanukkah and Pearl Harbor's Remembrance Day together on the same day. I think that I have to say that Mercury, let me just see. I have to see my notes. Mercury has gone out of bounds. Yes, Mercury has gone out of bounds or goes out of bounds on December 10th, and it is in parallel. It's in southern declination with Ceres from the 10th to the 24th. So, you know, I think that Mars will keep up the intensity with all that's going on the world stage. All the fear over terrorism threats and all of the attempts to get things under better control, all of these things are happening right now. I think whatever it is that you might be experiencing in your private life as well, too, on the 6th with that Saturn-Pluto, that's a square aspect here. There's something shaping up, some way of being able to maybe take a little bit better control over things. By the 8th, we've got Sun Uranus in trine, which is very good for innovating and solution finding and for the synchronicity piece of things. So I think that by this point, by the 6th, you may see in your personal life some way of working things out a little better for yourself or figuring it out a little better for yourself. It might not be a complete resolution on things, but you might be starting to gather up something that may be more useful or something that you may be able to apply in a more constructive way. All right, that's from the 6th. And on the 10th, when we have the Mars-Uranus opposition, we also have Venus trine Neptune, and we've got the Moon trine Uranus and sextile Mars, so we've got some good aspects there. Generally, the time before a new moon doesn't tend to be so potent, but with these transits, I would suggest that the intensity keeps up. And when we have out-of-bounds planetary energies, Mercury parallel with Ceres, again, this is great potency, and Ceres, I think, whenever Ceres is emphasized by transit, again, we have karmic setups that are taking place. You know, we're reliving or, you know, revisiting something that is key and essential for us to be developing or working our way through.
What was the aspect that you said about reworking?
Series, Mercury, you know, so yeah. Again, you know, key person, key circumstance, key piece of information, you know, something filtering in that may help you to have better perspective,
mm-hmm.
Better actionable during this period of time, so the 6th to the 10th. It is interesting that that time frame is when Canada is going to start flying in the refugees. Know about this, but it's also an interesting thing with the Saturn-Neptune thing because this announcement just came yesterday. Justin Trudeau, who won the election, you know, one of his campaign promises was that he was going to bring in 25,000 refugees by the end of the year. And all along, and there's been a lot of, you know, in the media has been saying, you know, well, nobody's going to blame him if he can't bring in that, you know, 25,000 by January 1st, because, you know, there's only like, whatever that was, 5 or 6 weeks to do that many people here. And the government was very insistent on they were going to meet the quota and, you know, that they wanted to do this. Well, just as of yesterday, they had to announce that 25,000 will not make it here by January 1st, and that they have to extend the deadline by 2 months. And that's kind of like that idea of, you know, holding to something or holding to the promise, you know, that Saturn-Neptune thing, and then having to get real about it.
Yeah, right. What is realistic?
You know, what's realistic, right? You know, yeah. And again, not to be judging that. I mean, you know, you can only do what you can do, you know, so no blame there, right?
Yeah. I like the Ceres expression, recovering something lost from the past.
Ceres transits are so important to watch.
Oh, my gosh.
And this
powerful.
Is loss and return, you know,
mm-hmm.
and we've always got these. And when Ceres is active, you know, we have, I would say there's stop-start cycles, but it's about cycles, you know, and whenever Mercury is involved with this, Mercury is moving into the sign of Capricorn, which references Saturn, which is in the sign of Sagittarius, which is emphasizing this Neptune-Saturn issue, you know, that's going on right here. It's all a process. And by the way, when Mercury moves into Capricorn, it will stay there through February because it's having a retrograde cycle in January. So as soon as Mercury moves into Capricorn, it locks into something. And of course, a zero Capricorn, that's a cardinal sign, zero Libras when the Paris attacks happen. But of course, we have the winter solstice coming up. Zero point Capricorn is very, very important. And we've got Ceres referencing that. So again, Capricorn is, you know, something from the past brought forward in order to process it, in order to examine it, in order to learn and grow through it.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
All right. Yeah, I know we'll have more to say on that right after the break. We'll be right back.
Radio your way. HealthyLife.net.
All right, we are back. I'm here with Rose Marcus from Vancouver, Canada. If you aren't currently receiving her newsletter, oh yeah, you have a bit of a newsletter you send out with
yes.
Wonderful monthly forecasts, and please check it out on her website. Get on that. It's loaded with all you need to prepare you for the next month. All right, so where were we?
Oh, you know, about that Mercury transit, Mercury in Capricorn, you know, about what you can do to get it under better control, right?
Right.
You know, and so remember that Mercury will turn retrograde. It's always good to know that ahead of time from January 5th to 25th. And it just goes over to 0 degrees Aquarius and then backs into Capricorn, so it will be in Capricorn. And just to finish up as well, too, Christmas Day, Uranus stations direct. So that'll be interesting. You know, I think that over the years, Christmas Day always has a lot of, you know, kind of tension-producing aspects. But this one also has Venus trine Jupiter. I kind of like that Saturn stationing direct, and it is a full moon as well, too. Excuse me. In the sign of Cancer, which is kind of ideal for a family holiday. So there's a lot going on that day. The full moon is trine Neptune. It's also opposing Pluto. So, you know, yes, I expect the day to have its fair share of tension. But I love the Mercury trine Jupiter aspect. I think I said it was Venus earlier. Sorry, it's Mercury trine Jupiter, which seems to suggest that there's a potential to keep it under control or to say things that might need to be said that haven't been said yet. And, you know, Jupiter's in the sign of Virgo, so we hope that you get some healing out of that day and feel like something is progressing for you on that day. I think that will be rather, a dynamic day, and so a combination of you know, the traditional and the different suits the day quite well, I think. Mm-hmm. And then on the 31st, we'll be back on the 30th, but the 31st, the moon's in Virgo. Depending on where you live, the moon might be in Virgo when ringing in the new year, or it might be in Libra. There are some easy aspects during the day, so I expect it to be a smooth sail into the first of the new year.
Great, that sounds good.
Yeah.
Even if things are nuts now, yeah. I often tell clients too, you know, like you said, life, it comes in cycles, and like with emotion, you know, nothing is static. Everything does morph and change, so it's like riding a tide, you know, all the way till it finishes, knowing that something else is coming, preparing for an energetic shift or some sort of lift.
Sorry to interrupt. I just wanted to say that, you know, after all the doom and gloom of what we were talking about here, Saturn and Uranus are trine in February and so on. So, you know, I mean, this might be a time frame that is a little bit confusing and so on, but there are better days ahead.
Yes, there are, and there always will be.
And there always will be.
Yeah. All right. So is that a wrap?
Yes.
That's a wrap. I don't know if I heard our engineer telling us to close. All right. Well, listen, we will be back here next week with Laura Nalbandian continuing our show on the phases and aspects. Last quarter phase is the next go around. We will be also, of course, back with Rose the end of next month looking at 2016 and what's ahead for us on our New Year's show. So look forward to that, Rose, very much. All right, well, happy Thanksgiving to those of you in the U.S. Remember to have gratitude that for all that is working, to give thanks for those things, and may more be born out of that emotion of appreciation. Until next time, namaste.